tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Justified Season 6, Episode 7, The Hunt. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hey everybody, you can tweet me at Tamara Berg.
And Stephen Bottomley.
Hi, you can tweet me at Bottomley Stephen.
Alright, so let's jump right in, because I thought, I wasn't expecting to see Winona, and I forgot, I didn't even recognize her coming up and everything. That night I went, whoa, she's here. Let's see. Oh, we're having the family back together.
That was a big surprise.
It was a big surprise.
The
I did not expect
back
that.
Together.
Because it's, okay, last week we left off with a big gunfight, and Ty got hit, so he's on the run. They got a big manhunt going, and Rachel's leading it. But Raylan's got a thing. He's got a thing.
Yeah.
He's got a thing.
And of course, he has to go out on a 24-hour leave, you know, because, you know, he's reliving the whole event.
He's gonna need meds.
He needs to decompress. Yeah,
exactly. So we find out what the thing is Winona with Willa, and so we've got the family there. It was surprising to me. Did you know what was happening?
Well, I didn't. No, I didn't. And one of the things I was thinking was, you know, they've all in the past been relatively open about what's going on in their life outside of, you know, the job.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Rachel, in fact, you know, had scenes together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, saying, I got a thing, meaning my baby's in town.
Yeah.
And he brings his baby in later. I thought it was a little bit odd, him being
cryptic
about it.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, why not say, hey, you know, my kid's in town, I'm gonna, whatever, but I don't know.
I mean, not that it matters. I just thought it was, it was a little bit odd because, you know, they've been so open about things in the past.
No, but you hit on something, because when he does bring the baby in to
the
work,
office,
it was almost like it's this alien thing that represents what they don't want. You know, stability and having to answer to someone else.
Yes.
It's like, do you want help? No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it was also
the one guy.
Yeah.
No.
Can I hold? Can I hold her? No. But it was also alien to see Raylan holding the baby. I think that's very alien. So I thought that was interesting.
And he has a lot to learn about being a dad, yet he seemed very natural at it.
Mm-hmm.
He was willing.
Well,
to handle
what I thought. First of all, John Dahl directed this one.
Yeah, he directs many of them.
Damn, there is some stuff in here that I just went, wow, that was really good.
Yeah.
When Raylan and Winona are trying to get back together and trying to understand each other again, and this baby's crying the whole time.
That, especially that one scene. Yeah, that
every parent goes,
is that right?
Right there.
And Tamara?
5 minutes of sanity.
And Tamara, speaking as a non-parent, what
could not wait for that scene to be over.
is that every bad restaurant you've ever been in?
Yeah. You know, side note, Graham Yost mentioned that they had 6 babies. So that they wouldn't end up with an American Sniper issue. They either had 2 sets of triplets or 3 sets of twins. Mm-hmm. He couldn't remember which.
Wow.
For those who don't know, American Sniper,
they didn't have a baby, or the baby that they had was unavailable or something. Yeah. Anyway, they had to use a doll in the one scene, and it looked horrible. It just looked terrible.
I mean, when I saw that movie in the theater, I was like,
what?
That's a dog.
I know, and it just took you right out of the movie.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they had 6 on notice, so to speak.
Yeah.
And any of you people out there that are looking for a niche market, evidently triplets and twins
can have quite a career.
That's right.
For a while.
For like 3 months.
And then they start talking.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple of years.
So you got to make a lot of money quickly in order to make it pay off.
To get the college money going.
But now let's get back to the scene with the baby crying and because, you know, as another non-parent, I'm going, you can't hand the baby off, you know, like I would normally do if this kid was crying. I would just give it. You can't. It just keeps going, and the scene keeps going and going, really? There's nothing you could do? Just turn the thing off.
Well,
hand over the mouth.
So she tells him, hey, you know, there's like a grade 4 heart murmur.
Yeah.
You know, I have no idea what that would mean.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
it's not that bad, apparently.
It's not that bad, but, you know, heart murmur.
But I like the way she was saying, but the whole thing on that, I don't want you to freak out.
Yes.
I'm not going to freak out.
You know,
the whole thing.
But Winona, she's referencing, you know, her mom saying, I need to do this. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to freak out. And there's, it seems like she doesn't have a handle on the parenting thing either.
No, she's a new mom.
She's a new mom,
well.
Too. So she's looking at Raylan going, are you going to be the other half here? Are you going to be able to do this? So Raylan's kind of auditioning for it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she also, let's face it, she knows that, you know, because she later on confesses that the murmur is not the only reason why she's up there.
Right.
So all along, she has an agenda. She's sussing it out, feeling it out, whether or not, how is he going to participate? Uh-huh. You know, we've got this joint custody thing. How are we going to work it out? And so I think she's trying to get as much information as she can from him about uh-huh. how he wants to participate before she reveals this. And she does a good job there.
Revealing what? Revealing
that she's there not just for the murder.
Right.
Revealing that I love you, I miss you, and I want you home.
Yeah.
That part?
Yeah, that part.
After which, okay. So watching, do you remember 24?
The TV show 24.
TV show 24. All constantly, every chance he got, I really wanted Jack Bauer to have awesome sex. And, you know, it seemed like at the end of each hour, there was a possibility for awesome sex.
After so some really was, tense
moment with some hot chick and a, you know, a moment to have a few seconds and, you know, really hoping that the entire series he was going to get a chance to have awesome sex. And so I feel that way for Raylan a lot this season.
Because there's a moment for awesome sex for him.
He's not getting much awesome sex. He hasn't in a while. And, I will say that this episode had a fair amount of awesome sex in it. I've got it written down twice on my...
I think we got the yin and yang of sex in this one. And I love how this was laid out. You did see the tender parent sex with Raylan and Winona.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
And you have the opposite. Yeah, I thought those two couples getting back together completely different ways.
Very different ways.
Yeah.
So the other thing that, first of all, I like that moment where he's bouncing
Willa.
Mm-hmm. on his, you know, on his chest, and, mm-hmm. and then she says, "And there's reality. Mm-hmm. Here's the custody thing." And it really is. That's how quickly it changes. And he just kind of hands her back, like, mm-hmm. "Yeah, I guess I can't really be a complete dad. I'm only going to be
in the status that we have
dad.
At the moment." Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
And if you just look at their storyline, it was wonderfully structured because in the beginning, they're all, of course, very nice and friendly to each other and stuff. But then there's the baby's crying and if I have to tell you how to do it, then I have to handle you and the baby and all this and he doesn't know what to do. I'll take it for ice cream. I'll have ice cream. I won't give her. And then they slowly find their way together towards the end.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just wonderfully structured.
I totally agree. And they gave Winona just so many great moments and lines.
Yes. Yeah.
The actress.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie.
Yes. Positionally, she didn't really shift. And her come from was really very real.
Yeah.
Like, you're looking at me for answers. Why do you think just because I've had the baby longer, I don't have the answers, and that's what I'm looking to you. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to bring some answers, Raylan.
Yeah.
No, I want the bathroom. Shut up.
And I liked that moment, too, because I thought that, you know, her saying that to him, and his response was not a fight. It wasn't at all. No. It was... Mm-mm. Okay, fair enough. Because we're figuring this out.
Yeah, and I thought the argument they gave her afterwards when she's making her case, you know, the whole idea about, look, when we used to be married together and you may never come home, and I hated that. It was horrible. But then she discovered something that's even worse, the fact that he may never, and
ever.
That he wasn't going to come home sure.
The no,
definite as opposed to the possible.
Right.
And I thought, well, that's, you know, because I was thinking, how are they going to get these two together? I mean, how what argument could she make, or what could turn her? And I thought it was extremely effective. I went, well, okay, I kind of buy that.
You can be with me and still be you.
Yeah, that part, the fact that she was willing to live with that because of the other, what she was missing so much was the three of them, the making that happen. And she'd be willing to sacrifice. Because remember, when she left him, she said, I can't do this at all. Right. I can't live like this.
Right.
Yeah, and so the fact that she says this now doesn't invalidate that.
No, not at all.
But it recognizes that, you know, that's the hell I can live with.
Yeah.
I love it. They both had, there were similar issues going on with Raylan and Boyd. Mm-hmm. Handled completely different.
Yeah.
and handled, but basically the same thing, mm-hmm. which is, are we going to be together, mm-hmm. and can we do this?
Yeah.
Right.
And they had an adult parental yeah. conversation. Yeah. Not so much on the other side. We'll get to that.
But that's what I loved about this episode. They had those two things going on. Yes. I was like, this is great.
Right. And I saw, this is a time where I, you know, up until this episode, it's always kind of been, you know, Raylan, are you really a dad? Are you mm-hmm. really going to? And I saw he was a dad. Mm-hmm. He was a dad. There, you know, he took the kid into work.
Take her daughter to work.
Yeah, exactly. Of course. God,
everyone took a.
That was hysterical. I loved him taking the kid to work and then everybody just going off on him. Yeah. It's like, Art, oh, thank God she doesn't look like you. And then it just kept going. Yeah. So, especially Tim. Tim had some great lines there messing with him.
It was very funny, that scene mm-hmm. with the two of them sitting at their desks. Yeah. And, you know, the line that I loved from the show was, look at what you started, Norma Rae.
Yeah, Tim taking 24 hours off as well. Yeah. Yeah. That was one of my favorites, too. I think I wrote that one down. Absolutely.
There's a good one when they were dealing with the child, which is, I've been on two flights in an Uber with this demon child attached to my boob.
Mm-hmm. I think she said breast.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, yeah. So, for that storyline, I think that was just, as I mentioned earlier, very well-rounded. And then that sets up the whole thing, like, okay, so we are going to do this. And they give each other, was it 50-50? No, 51-49. Yeah. So it's yeah, exactly. And we don't know. Yeah. And that's coming off of a couple episodes ago when Boyd asked Raylan in the hallway, mm-hmm. he's going, does it change you? Mm-hmm. So now we get to see how it's going to start changing. Because now he's obviously, the metaphor's there, he fully embraced it, embracing the kid and the whole thing. So.
Absolutely. You know, the door's open, she walks through, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. And yet they stay on him, mm-hmm. and you have to wonder, so where is his head right there? Mm. Where is he thinking? I don't know what he was thinking. Am I really going to get to Florida?
I know. And there was this other tension. Rachel saying, "No, look, there's a manhunt going on," and he's going, "No, I got the thing."
And then
it's kind of a mandatory 24-hour thing, you know. But he comes in anyway, and then even Winona's saying, "Look, answer the call. Didn't you hear what I just said? Yes, answer your phone."
Right.
And you know, so that's this whole play going on, and I really don't know how that's going to come
Winona
down.
Winona changed the playing field for him. She was, look, I need you as a father, as a husband down in Florida where we can have it. And then she comes up and goes, you know what? No, you do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. I just want to be a part of your life. So now he's like, well, what the hell? Can I stay in Kentucky?
And he'd already made his decision. He was ready to go to Florida. Just do one last thing. I'm going to do one last thing like they always do.
Just one last thing.
And I'm going to go.
It was very satisfying. And, mm-hmm. and she's such a good actress to see mm-hmm. her do her work.
Yeah, they were great scenes together.
Too. Yeah.
I want to move on to the Ty. We'll get to the Boyd Hunt and Ava and everything, but we'll save that for last.
Wow.
So Ty obviously gets shot last week, in last week's episode, I should say, and is now on the run. And, you know, nothing's worse than a wounded animal.
Oh, my God.
So, but he's having such a day.
He's having such a day.
That's right.
I love that callback. It's been a day.
Yeah.
Okay. Props to the FX guys.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. In the bathroom?
We're in the rest stop bathroom.
Oh, my God.
I didn't watch that. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so good. And it was done
I watched it like this.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. She watched it.
Really? I was like this.
You put up the blinders?
I would fast forward through it and then accidentally stop right at the moment where he was.
That was really impressive. It's like, I've never seen a bullet be pulled out of someone's shoulder before.
You can imagine it looked in real life, but I went,
that looks good.
Because I did do it a few times and slowed it down.
Pull a bullet out?
Well, you know, it's.
A few times.
Yeah.
I grew up on the streets.
Orange County.
Well, you fell on a bullet every once in a while. And by bullet, I mean nail. I slowed it down. And, you know, so of course there's going to be some swelling and everything. Just the makeup, the effects, everything.
It was really good. It was very impressive.
The music, just the lighting, mm-hmm. in that, you know, just the
intensity. The bathroom.
That was one of my favorite sequences.
Right, and also I'd like to say the makeup on his face, because he looked pale
and he looked pasty. He looked exactly what you would think.
A lot of times you can see that because the natural skin color can come through on the makeup, but he looked genuinely...
Yeah, they had great makeup, great lighting on that. That was a really nice job. Yeah, exactly. And of course, the hair being all sweaty and stuff like that.
You know, I wonder if they're going to have to start bringing in their own lighting, because everything's going over to LEDs and those suck for film.
No, they're getting much better now, but.
Are they getting better?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They have a full color. Yeah, I know a lot of them do, but they're getting
and
better.
And not only that, they make gels and filters. They make the gels and filters and all that stuff.
And there's so much you can correct afterwards, too. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there was a discussion.
No, you're right. You're right.
I'm going to hijack
you. You're right.
Oh, there are my notes.
All right. So, but the other thing that.
Punji stick.
There we go. Exactly. We've got it.
Punji stick.
Since let's finish that part of it, and we'll go back out to the Avery part. But the right after that, he comes out, and you've got the frat boys. The frat brothers.
Yeah.
Headed to Disney World, the happiest place on Earth.
Uh-huh. And this is one of the things that I love most about the show, is they cut all that tension with these great characters. Like, where all of a sudden he's at a restaurant, and these frat boys going down to the World of Wizardry or whatever the hell it is.
Harry Potter's Wizardry.
And the other part of it is you get these characters that all of a sudden just assume an attitude for no apparent reason. That's like, hey, oh, well, thanks for your service. I was like, first of all, why would you do that? Why would anybody do that to a vet? But no, I'm going to cop an attitude because it's far more interesting. And that, you know, because in real life, you probably wouldn't do that. But that's what I love about the show, is like they already cop an attitude with a guy and who you think is what, having his way with himself in the bathroom.
Right.
And then when he gets in your face, he just tucks tail. Sorry.
You know, yeah, so he gets in his face with the line, "Well, your brother over there step in when I split your skull open," which, damn.
Mm-hmm.
So my take on that is I actually kind of felt good for Walker that he didn't kill him.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. It was a redeeming moment. Yeah. There's hope for you, Walker.
He didn't kill somebody.
You can totally preach one day, that's where it was ending up.
I don't like to think about all the people I killed. I like to think about the people who I could have killed but didn't.
Yes, that's the measure of a man.
That's right. I think that's what we should be concentrating on.
And that's how you just get sucked into this. And I go, wait a minute, he's a complete asshole. Why do I care?
Yeah.
Yay, the two boys live. And he gives them the cash and the credit card.
Absolutely.
And the blackjack to deliver to 1212 Main Street in Orlando.
See how easy it is to remember? Nicely done, Darren.
Yes. He made me repeat it.
Yeah. Of course, the whole reason why he's in this spot is because he calls Avery. Well, he calls Seabass, and Seabass brings the phone to Avery. They have a speakerphone conversation saying, I need an extraction because he's been shot.
Yes.
And I thought that, you know, this to me was, I'm going, this is a great parallel scene again from last week's with how Avery handled Ty when Choo Choo needed to be dealt with.
Right.
I think that when Ty's in the car and he realizes, and he tells him where he is, he's holed up at the abandoned church, which you clearly he's not.
Right.
And you know he's lying, and then he has this moment where he puts his head down, and I'm going, because he knows Avery's going to handle Seabass the way he handled him last week with Choo Choo.
Right, so is that what he was doing at that moment, Ty, when he puts his head down?
I think so.
He called Markham.
He called Seabass and gave the phone. Seabass brought the phone.
Seabass gave the phone to Markham.
Right, on speakerphone.
Right, so was he making the realization that he was sunk? Is that what it was?
I think so. I think he realized, and now you've even said it, look, he's burnt. I think at some point when that head goes down, well, even before that, because he lies about where he is. He knows if they come get me, they're going
to
handle me like I was going to handle Choo Choo.
Right.
Because that's the deal. I mean, I think that's what he's thinking. That's why he gives him the fake, bogus place. Yeah, and that's why the head goes down and you realize, what am I doing here? These guys aren't going to extract me. If anything, if I tell them where I am, they're going to come and kill me like I was going to kill Choo Choo.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And he's still, as far as we know, he's still alive.
Yeah.
And he's, I'm guessing, going to settle some scores.
But.
Well, you know, one of our viewers talked about it in our notes on YouTube that, you know, Markham's got a team that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Remember,
we talked about that last week.
Yeah. So he may still have cards to play next week.
Who, Markham or Ty?
I mean, Ty.
Right, okay.
Ty is who I meant. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who I
said
Markham,
but that's okay.
I meant Ty.
Well, Markham pulls a drawer open, and it's a great shot of carrot or stick right there. Stack of cash.
You
or
can't
a gun.
Get more obvious than that. Hey, right. Do you like a lot of money?
Yeah. So, what would you like, Sean Seabass?
Mm-hmm. Kind of or stacks of money.
And it was, again, that nice insidious, not insidious, but the way he was talking, it was very nefarious and, you know, but very pragmatic too. It's like, yes, he's just appealing to, and the whole time, when we first met Avery with Catherine, the whole idea of poking the eyes out and all that other stuff, he's very pragmatic and loyalty and trust are very important, and he's willing to buy your loyalty, and, you know, and he even says that's the best way to handle it, is buy people's loyalty.
Right.
And here he is actually doing it.
Right.
And he gave Sean an actual valid reason why he can't go out there, because the whore can identify him.
Mm-hmm.
The whore, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the hooker.
It was a quote.
But I was surprised, why did he even say that? I mean, I know they got a man going on, but I thought for sure he'd say, go take care of her because she can't identify. He says, lay low. And I'm going, why? I don't get that part. Why would you lay
low? I'm assuming that the lady of the evening. I'm assuming she's probably
Caprice. Like, let's just call her Caprice.
That's whatever. I'm assuming she's probably in, is that a sedative? Protective cover. She's hiding, whatever. I'm figuring, A, she's probably not part of this anymore.
The marshals took care of her in some way in the aftermath.
You know, why would they hold her?
Like, why is she selling this? They probably can't get to her.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, but I mean, I don't know why they would hold her. I guess if they thought she was in danger,
they'd
have her in protected custody. But.
And because she's cute.
And
evidently.
Cute.
Yeah.
She's a party.
But I thought the scene between Avery and Seabass was just, you know, it was great. It was a little parallel scene from the Choo-Choo one. I thought it was terrific, and the money and everything. And I thought it was, you know, Seabass was like,
Yep.
You know, the whole thing about, you know, he's got such loyalty in some sense. We were in the sandbox together, but that's a lot of cash.
I'm going to get you, Top.
That's
good,
right.
Be good man, sir.
That's right. I knew I could count on you.
Well, wait a minute, Top.
Yeah. Yeah, not so much. Yeah. So. All right, since that's why he's on the run. Then, of course, I love the scene when Ty is sitting there and his car breaks down and he wants to shoot the car.
I got a question on that one.
What's that?
Well, first of all, that's just genius.
Yeah, that was just great.
And again,
I want to know for sure, was that in the script that he just whipped out the gun and said, I'm going to shoot this car? Because
everyone has been there. Everyone
things.
Has been in that moment where your car just dies the wrong way.
And you want to shoot it.
In the last 2 weeks, okay?
Then he sits on the rock.
Yeah.
Now, was he thinking about?
I think for sure he was going, look.
Absolutely.
I'm burnt. I'm going down. Bam. I got nothing. I might as well just end this.
Right.
I absolutely thought that.
Okay. So yeah, that's kind of what it was that I was looking at going.
And I was like, that works for me. Because he's, look, I'm a soldier. I'm going down this way. Just like Choo-Choo wanted to end his life by train.
That's what I was going to say next.
That's how I'm going to end it. They're not taking me in. No way.
Yeah, not giving anybody
And I'm not letting anybody else shoot me.
I wasn't sure whether he was trying to formulate a plan or thinking.
I thought for me it was the same beat.
Yeah.
And again, it rang true. The whole soldier thing. And it's like, no, I'm going out my way. Not by anybody else's hand.
Right.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he gets bad cell service.
Then he gets one bar.
He gets one bar. It helps from the EMTs. So,
by the way, I am part of that same cell network.
No matter where you are.
You know.
Exactly.
Just people that don't know, there are so many dead cell zones in the middle of, like,
L.A.
You know, L.A., where there's lots
and
of...
And L.A. County.
That's
L.A. County. Yeah.
Anyway. So, yeah, then he calls...
The heroes. The EMT heroes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, did you see that scene?
Did you watch that one?
I did watch that one, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I did.
Okay.
Well, what were you expecting when... Were you really expecting to see that?
I don't know, because it happened pretty quickly, but I didn't think it was going to go smoothly. Let me just say that.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, again, it wounded the animal.
I didn't think right, exactly. I mean, I didn't think Ty Walker was, you know, ready to have guys, you know, sort of, because you know, you can't show up any place with officials with a bullet wound.
Without the police
coming. So
and you know this.
You know. I know this personally. Okay, yeah. Do you want to see my scar? It's
From
not really growing appropriate.
Growing up on the streets of...
Yeah. Northern California.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So. The East Bay. Hola.
But I, you know, the... one of my favorites was... What's that? Oh, just antibiotics.
Just antibiotics.
You know, because we know you're hurting.
I haven't even examined you or anything like that. Yeah, it's like, okay.
He tried.
It's like, all right.
He tried. So if the EMTs have the information of Sasquatch with a beard, you know, be on the lookout.
Right.
They get the call.
Mm-hmm.
So well, obviously they didn't know what Ty mm-hmm. Walker looked like by the telephone, so they no. had to arrive with this right. idea that there was a guy who needed help, who may or may, and then the moment
they
saw him,
they seen the bolo. So
right, I just felt like there might have been a little, we got him right here. We're about to stick some antibiotics. I mean, sedatives into him.
Oh, you mean they might have said something ahead of time.
Report before yeah. they got out of the truck. Maybe mm-hmm. their radio didn't have coverage either.
Yes, they didn't have cell service.
You know, maybe.
It's surprising they didn't. But there wouldn't have been a TV show. They couldn't have used it if they did do that. Well, actually, yeah. that would have been interesting. You could have done that because then that would have just created something.
It would have been a bigger.
More people on the, you know,
a
on the way.
Mess.
Yeah, which would be great. That would have been fine.
Yeah.
That would have been worked out fine.
Yeah. So. But, you know, like.
Of course, didn't.
No.
Now we got the Saturday, we got the federal fight sequence, and then we got the guns. Yeah.
And that was one that I replayed a few times because that was kind of a new thing. I haven't seen that on a TV show yet.
What's that, shooting EMTs?
Yeah, having that sort of shot where, you know, you see the.
Oh, the whole
headshot
thing yeah.
happen. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you watch Walking Dead, you see all kinds of things like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. So. Uh-huh. I'm the guy that doesn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah. So that was. I think they're making up for the lack of squibs.
Yeah, we are building the body count.
Yes,
for sure.
It's been such a day.
That's what he says again. That's what I loved. That was the mantra.
Such a day.
Such a day. And I was going. Okay, here's a question. Why doesn't he take the ambulance?
Well, I think insurance. It's not exactly stealthy.
Well, I get that part, but just to get the hell out of where he is, and I would imagine you can take that. And get out fast for a while.
Yeah, right. You have the lights and sirens.
How far can you get, walking around the way he is right now?
I bet we're going to find out next week why.
Yeah, because all he wanted was the first aid kit.
First aid kit. Yeah, I'm sure he has a plan, I guess, but without having the ambulance, you can do all the back roads things. You can do whatever you want because you're not tied to the street. So you can just get a hell of a lot faster by grabbing that ambulance. And
plus, you're going to get better gas mileage without a couple extra bodies.
But I just was wondering, wow, why didn't he just take the damn thing? Hmm. So, but I'm sure he's got his own plan.
Yes, I'm sure we'll see.
I'm sure there are pluses and minuses either way he goes. All right, so that finishes up our Ty story.
Yeah.
Except we didn't talk about the Avery art sequence.
I love that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's all part of that, right?
Right,
huh?
I have a little star about
get the
that
two
one.
Guys in there, Nick Searcy.
I'm just a
Sam
POD.
Elliott. Yeah, that was great.
Just deputy.
What do I know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And those guys have such, first of all, they have great voices, and then their timbre and their manner and stuff like that. I just love the whole sequence because that was just fun. That's just great to watch.
Well, it's also fun to watch this cat and mouse game with here's what I know, and I'm letting you know that I know, and here's what I'm going to tell you that I know, and that whole dance that they do, being very seasoned guys, and sticking the jabs in that.
It was great. Yeah.
How's the fishing pole?
Yeah, that whole loss of memory. Well, that's a sign of old age, soul is losing your hair. And that's just real fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually one where I don't really have a lot of notes because I just sat back and watched.
It was just fun to watch.
Yes.
I'm going,
yeah.
God, this is great.
And anyone who wants to pursue this art of acting,
watch that scene, man.
Watch that.
But it's great writing, great acting. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything was just the way it was shot was interesting too because they had singles, and then when they needed to bring them together, we had the doubles, and then you had him opening the file in the foreground and him in the background. I mean, it was just wonderfully shot too.
It's really disconcerting watching Avery Markham, a.k.a. Sam
Elliott,
without a mustache.
Oh, because you're so used to seeing him with the mustache?
So used to seeing him with a mustache and the sort of expressions he makes with the lower part of his face, which we haven't seen before, are really, dastardly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's not doing this.
Yeah, but it's just, it's very nefarious. I mentioned that earlier.
That is a great word for it, I think. I think that really describes him. It makes him just very creepy.
And that made me hope. I'm kind of hope we have more scenes between those two guys because that was just a great scene. But then we have a similar scene coming up. It's coming up now, but it's between Art and Catherine, which I didn't expect we were going to have, but we are going to have it.
Yes.
So because all he cares about is who was that snitch
that
ratted on Grady.
Right.
So we are going to find that out.
The scene with Art seemed like that was the first time Markham felt like there was anything worthwhile in his whole little visit to the office. Uh-huh. It was like, oh, yes. Now this is interesting.
Yeah. Yes, I will play this game.
I will play this game.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything else is like, whatever, it's just a means to an end. But
just chilling. Oh,
I agree.
A worthy adversary.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, I loved it.
And
it
even Raylan seemed more of a nuisance than a worthy adversary, but this seemed more on a par.
Okay, so let me ask you guys this, and, I'm probably wrong. Mm-hmm. I know. Put it on the table.
Yeah, here we go.
When Art comes out and says, yeah, he's not going to be here very long if you want to go talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Markham, was he looking at Raylan with the baby?
Yeah, that's what I was going, why did you bring the kid into work? I mean, you just, I mean, that obviously you needed to, but I went, yeah, oh yeah, because now Avery's going to go, weak spot.
Yeah,
not that he he couldn't figure that out.
Right.
I'm sure if he's done his homework at all, he knows that Raylan has a kid or anything. But the fact that the kid is here, and you know,
but I don't know. I mean, I went there.
I mean, it's no accident that Winona had to come up. It's not the murmur. It's not. But in terms of the show,
right.
In terms of writing the show, get them all together.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta have some leverage, or you gotta put them in jeopardy, all that kind of stuff.
But the camera shot that they didn't really push that. It was more kind of like he's looking in this area.
Yeah, I know. But it was like and here you got the.
Yeah, so we went to the same thing. Like, okay, one more piece.
Oh boy, here
leverage.
We go. This, yeah, that's exactly where I went with it. It's like, okay. Yeah, those two are going to be in jeopardy. Winona and Willa. For sure.
Finally.
Yeah, it's like, well,
her fault.
I mean, why not?
She said, I'll take you as you are.
Well, the whole thing is, what kind of father you're going to be? And is it the father? Is it the job? Is it, husband? All that other stuff.
Right.
And you got to bring them into the equation.
Well, evidently,
right?
It's a father that puts his family in danger every week.
Yeah, there you go.
Every week.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
So that's going to be fun. All right, let's get to the big, the reason for the title of this episode, which is The Hunt.
Oh, my God.
Tamara, did you want to say anything to start
with? My shoulders were up around my ears the whole time.
Really?
That Boyd and Ava were together. Mm-hmm. Opening up with, we're going to go hunting to... aptly named Bulletville.
Yeah, of course, this comes off of the phone call he gets from Limehouse. Right. Limehouse explains that Ava's been on the run.
This is what you call the unknown.
Exactly.
This statement that he says, I wasn't asking.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't challenge at all because, the challenge then makes other things happen. I wasn't asking, and she's like, okay. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Just scared the living daylights out of me.
Oh, the whole part of, this little, talk about cat and mouse. I mean, he was just playing here and just messing with her emotions like crazy. She's already been on edge for the whole season.
Yeah.
And the fact that now we're going to Bulletville alone to hunt razorbacks.
Right.
Yeah.
This brings up, and we've had these debates in various projects about the seen or unseen bomb.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where, do you see the suitcase go in?
Do you let the audience see the bomb?
Do you let them see it? Do you let them not see it? This is an excellent example of letting them see the bomb, because now it's all about what he doesn't say. Mm-hmm. It's all about the, the other place he's at. Mm-hmm. The super loving guy.
But in a remote area, talking about what's your first animal you killed, and then later on it's a carcass, and then
he's got blood on his head.
Yeah, loyalty.
Talking about loyalty again. So there's another one of those parallels between Markham and Seabass, and I need to talk to you about loyalty. Here's $50,000 worth of loyalty.
No honor amongst thieves there.
Right?
They hit every beat they could, even in the cabin when he says, I don't know what the statute of limitations is. She goes, well, I'll keep my mouth shut either way. I certainly hope you can. Mm-hmm.
Every little thing you can think of is so full.
Thing. And then he's talking about, his writing their own vows.
Yeah.
And this is what was so great about it.
And trust should be in them and commitment and all this other stuff. Yeah.
Now, could you tell the difference between Boyd as I'm so close to killing you, Boyd, and Boyd when he thought everything was cool?
Well, only because I knew what he knew.
Right.
But, he was pretty good about shading it so that you weren't exactly sure where he's coming from.
Yeah, well, when he's talking about, the loyalty, commitment and all those sort of things, I was like, man, there should be a neon sign going up right about then.
But
Ava.
Yeah, but that's what I thought. Again, it was such a great scene because she brought in the whole Bowman thing and the history there.
So you're talking about when they're in the cabin.
We're in the cabin. I'm already there, only because everything else is leading up to that.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and you know, you bring me here, you make me drink, all this other stuff.
When I don't
and, yeah,
want
exactly.
To.
Yeah, I'm not my brother. Yeah, but you're still a Crowder, and there you know, and the whole thing about, you know, he didn't bother. You know, he was sweet as candy till he got married, and I mean, there's all this history, just rich with this stuff.
I thought that was an incredibly well written scene because of that.
Yeah.
Because you know, we keep remembering Ava and Boyd for who they are right now, and you know, there's been plenty of talk about Bowman, but she got into the real specifics of it, and she really pushed that part of this conversation in this one. You know, how he beat her and when he beat her, and how he didn't apologize, but
or
he didn't explain,
and
then he would apologize and be okay for a couple of days, and you know, there were a lot of specifics that came out where we really could remember all that she has been through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, of course, they have. Then it continues to the point where that, you know, she says, you want to hit me, and the whole thing. And then it's like, what? Where are we going here?
Yeah.
And it just was so paralleled with the way that Winona and Raylan got to their.
awesome sex.
Crowder honeymoon is what.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
Apropos term for that kind of sex.
Absolutely.
We're going to do a Crowder honeymoon, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead and hit me.
There may be a gun involved.
Mm-hmm. I think they're trying to bank on the 50 Shades of Grey.
Just you think they were going, that's where they went?
Like
they're trying to ride that coattail.
They couldn't figure out how to get the handcuffs into the thing because there's a Raylan wasn't around.
Mm-hmm.
No, and so now you have those parallel, you know, you've got Raylan and Winona, and then you've got these two both trying to find their way back.
Yeah.
One using fists.
Yeah. But, and intimidation. The other using understanding and maturity.
But here's the thing. So it was Boyd's way of saying, you know, what is it you're keeping from me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, do you need to hit me? What is it that I can't give you in that scene? Mm-hmm. I mean, that the subtext was, again, it works because of what he's not saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he really is hurting. I think.
Sure. The betrayal, I'm sure, is deep.
Yeah. And
but that's what made that the other scene even better, because I thought, you know, that was such a great scene between the two of them in the cabin. And then the one after, that kind of topped it.
Yeah.
Right, when they're out in the woods.
When they're out in the woods after the Razorback's been shot. Go
after
ahead.
We get to watch Boyd watch her sleep again.
Oh, yeah, that's,
No, don't forget that.
Yeah, that's right, because he's watching her sleep again. I go, what, they're doing this again?
Crowder Nightlight.
Yeah, exactly. And
go, all
come on.
To do is smile.
We got to go. Get up.
Okay.
Good one, Steve.
Thank you. Yeah, okay, so they're out there, and so that was a big thing about, you know, that was a trailer from last week, you know, with the gunshot.
Yep.
Again, a small thing, great thing. That gunshot goes off, and you see Eva check her body real quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, she did it kind of subtly and quick and everything about it. Yep, that's exactly right.
Well, and she said that, I don't know how many times, how many episodes ago, that she's just waiting for the bullet.
Just waiting for the
bullet. She thought it was going to come from Catherine, that's it, you know. So.
Yeah, okay, was there any thought to either of you that this might be the moment that Eva gets...
No.
Shot?
Not at all.
No?
No. I didn't think so.
You?
No. No, because it's not climactic enough.
I did.
You did?
Really?
Wow.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Only because, I mean, because it would be...
It would have been an amazing shocker. We would have gone, God, really? You're kidding me.
Well, they couldn't utilize it.
And then, that would have been very interesting, because then... What's he got to live for, in a sense, and like all bets are off, and you never want Boyd in a position where, screw it. There's nothing you can do to me now.
Thank you for reading my mind. My only consolation was just that it was slightly early in the season, but that would that is why it would have been so
then
shocking.
Then could have gone on a rampage.
She's standing there. He goes off to catch the pig. The Razorback. And I was like, oh, my God, it's coming right now. And we all know that absolutely could happen.
It could have, absolutely.
So anyway, sorry, Steve, what were you saying?
No, you know, to just follow that thought out, now you would have crazy Markham and crazy Boyd coming in two directions.
Yeah.
So, why don't we just go back and kill Ava?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
I got TiVo.
And I would like to say I loved that she brought up that you left me in prison.
That part, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
that's the part why I thought it was so good about this. She finally got to the thing.
Yes.
The whole reason why she's in the position she's in is because Boyd didn't follow through.
He didn't show up for her.
We're at that moment where we've had this discussion about what could she possibly say? And she took the route of, the truth will kill me or set me free.
Yeah.
But the whole thing happening with a gutted pig right behind him.
Yeah, no, and he's got blood on his hands.
Oh, my.
That was so
it was great.
Cool.
That's what I thought was great.
To have that thing just the whole time looking at it, I go, yeah, it could be me.
It's just spread, like, just carcass spread out.
Bit
like
of a
that.
Limehouse parallel, too, with carcasses in the background at his place.
Yep.
So she does come clean.
A gutted pig.
And she does say, I'm ready.
Because what else would you do to a snitch but gut him?
Yeah, well, he couldn't say we're going rat hunting.
Yeah, exactly, so...
Squirrel.
So, yeah, so there was that whole, if you love me, here's the gun. They're throwing the gun back and forth. Yep. Find out why.
Yeah.
He's
but
so
okay.
Loose. But again, that was a great turn later.
Absolutely,
like,
because because here's the thing. We've also talked about how Boyd is so delusional in some sense about Ava, where he's blind spot there to some degree, clearly.
Yes.
And then so you can buy, and I kind of did for a second. I was like, no, I think he does. The fact that this is this point, what does he do if he doesn't have Ava? And he can't have that Dairy Queen, or in this season it's been
the weed farm.
Right. You know, if that's not a possibility, then what am I going to live for? Because, you know, the only reason why I'm doing this is because he wanted his kids and stuff to be able to get out of the life that he's in.
Right.
So, and if that's not going to be a possibility with her, yeah, go ahead, put one in my brain.
It seemed like he was more upset over the thought of her sleeping with Raylan.
Oh, yeah.
Than he was with her being a snitch.
Well, because I think he really understood the whole snitch thing. I mean, she's practical and pragmatic, so that's the only way out of there. I get that, but, you know, I think more than anything, if that had happened, you should have told me. We could have figured a way out of it, which is what he said later.
That was what I was going to say, because he can figure a way out of her being a CI. He can't figure a way out of her having slept with
exactly
Raylan.
That. And I thought the whole idea of him saying, just tell me, I can feed information to
I can Raylan. Run him in circles.
Exactly. Right. I would have thought, you know, early on, except she was too afraid to do this, she would have realized that at some point, because that's exactly what it could have happened had she been aware of it or said something sooner. Because she could have used the double agent thing and you know, kept things going. And
that
then,
makes a nanny crazy. Though.
Yeah, but that's what they're going to do for the next four or five episodes, whatever, is to have him spinning.
I kind of thought that's what they were going to go with when they spent that night getting drunk and she talks about Pizza Portal. I thought that was an opportunity for her to kind of say, oh, and there's this other little thing.
Yeah, because up until then she hadn't really done anything to hurt him in terms of giving Raylan information.
Right. So
still, she hasn't really given much information to him.
Aside from the fact she was backed into a corner, do you also think that she has come around to reconciling that Boyd didn't help her out and some of the love is coming back into her? Because here's the thing. That scene where she said, it's always been you, as screwed up as that was, it touched me. I got a little teary when I saw that scene.
That's interesting, because I didn't. Because
you're a cold-hearted bastard, and I'm a kind, loving, compassionate woman.
Yeah, absolutely. That and because
I watched you like this. Yeah, watched the whole thing like this.
It was a little reminiscent of the way she was talking to Raylan just last week, and then kissed him
in the kitchen.
Exactly. Yeah. That desperation, that same kind. Because let's face it, all she's trying to do is survive moment to moment.
Yes.
So in some sense, I was taking it like that. Yeah, you better say that because he will shoot you.
Right.
So I didn't read it as sincere as you did, so I didn't feel the tenderness. I can see why you did, and I agree that it was probably there, but I also think, had Boyd not been part of the picture, had she really stuck it through, I think her first desire was to be with Raylan.
She did the same thing Boyd did. She started off with truth and made sure everything was laid out so that anything else it has that veneer.
Yeah.
He started out with an empty gun to prove trust.
To make sure that she trusted.
Exactly.
Yeah, she could trust,
final beat.
It's like, I just love that. Trust is so important.
And then but what's even better is he goes ahead and puts the full magazine in.
Yeah.
Like, okay, now we're going to find out what's going on.
Yeah, okay.
Now that we trust each other.
Well, but now at this point, he knows the gun's not going to be, in theory, pointed at either him or Ava.
Right.
So you need the bullets at this point.
Well, I'm not sure it's not going to be pointed at Ava, because the fact that the gun
you're not sure you can fully trust her.
Here's the thing. I don't think Ava fully is locked with Boyd. I think she's going to grab the first opportunity to get the hell out of Dodge. And I think Boyd needs to know how much danger he's in before he decides what happens to Ava.
But wouldn't it be difficult for Boyd, regardless of who it is, to trust anybody at this point? How could he? I don't think trust is really going to be there for anybody in Boyd's life. I don't think he would ever trust it. How could he, based on the life he's lived, how would he fully be able to trust anybody? And why would he? I mean, I think that would be a serious right. misstep on terms of, on the world he's inhabiting
right.
to trust anybody.
With the beats that they've laid in and the way they've had Boyd's character portrayed, it would be tough for me to see him suddenly go, yeah, we're a team. Mm-hmm. You know, let's go get the world. So,
but he said it on many occasions, and I think in those moments he says that he believes that part of it. But I think there's always a part of him that's going to go, "Yes, of course I'm going to trust her. I'd save her. I love her. All that kind of stuff." But I think there's always this thing that's always because he has to be in order to survive.
But she's got the same issue. Cause
yeah,
she
absolutely.
Says, but you're a crowder.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, no I know. Matter, they're no, never going to be.
No matter what.
yeah.
Well, you know, John, here's the thing. I think there's a ton of ambivalence between these two, mm-hmm. you know, and that's essentially what we're saying is that, you know, I do love you, but love for most people means trust.
Yeah,
and to anybody who's grown up, how we have grown up, mm-hmm. trust is something that we can't entirely count on. There's no such thing as 100% trust in Harlan County.
No, well, especially amongst these people.
Right.
Maybe not in Harlan County, but yeah. And there shouldn't be. Seriously, if you're going to be in that world, in order to survive, you got to be have a little grain, you know, always looking out for yourself and making sure that the angles are all right.
Yes, they're freaking criminals.
Well,
every last one of them.
Well, how could you fully trust somebody? Why would you do that?
It was an awesome parallel.
Yeah, I just love the parallel storylines between
John
the two.
Dahl. And now, does anyone know if John Dahl has done a few of these?
He's directed many of them, and some of their some of their best episodes.
That's what Graham Yost says. He says that he has done some of their best episodes have come out of him.
Yeah, he's done a really good job.
Seriously, the bathroom scene with mm-hmm. Walker was.
I'm going to trust you on that one, and I'll let you watch it for.
By
all
the way, that's
for
going
me.
On my Christmas.
I don't know if this is one of their bottle episodes. I can't tell, but I also liked that they're. I mean, we had very few locations. I mean, we were at the hotel. I don't know how many times, which was
right.
But again, because I think we saw those actors and that storyline was so full. We didn't need to because each time you went back, they were moving that story along.
Right.
And then we had a lot of exteriors where it's just the small.
There wasn't a lot of
there's
sweeping.
There's the car broken down. There's the thing.
And then, you know, they basically hike to one spot and then stay there.
Get the camera here, move it over here, move it in, you know, which is great. I mean, because the where Boyd was and Ava was probably on the other side where the truck was with the ambulance.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know how much a fake pig costs.
Yeah, we'll have to ask that.
Razorback. Oh, gosh. I remember all those times my dad waking me up at 3 in the morning saying we're going razor hunting.
Yeah, right. So do we have anything else, last thoughts about this particular episode before we move on? Do we have shout-outs?
I really liked it. I have news and shout-outs.
All right,
yes.
Well, let's do our news, and then we will get to some of our shout-outs. So here we go with news.
Guess I'm not going to get the little music.
No, you're
okay.
Not
drop it.
The Justified gang had their rap party last Friday, and according to Graham Yost, there were some tears, but mostly celebration and a lot of drinking and some really bad karaoke. Apparently, Caitlin Dever, who plays Loretta, was the karaoke star of the evening. She did Ice Ice Baby from memory.
Wow.
No teleprompter for her. And she killed it. Jacob Pitts and Graham Yost did Sweet Home Alabama. Our friend Jacob Pitts. But sadly, the venue did not have Yost's Jam, which is apparently I'm going to be 500 miles by the Proclaimers.
Wow.
So, because he loves that song and he does it at karaoke because, according to him, you can do a Scottish accent and hide the fact that you can't sing.
That's right.
There were speeches and a gag reel and good times were had by all.
Okay, good fun.
Noted by one of our fans, BGM and ZZ, pointed out that Ryan Dorsey, who plays Earl, so Ava's babysitter, and
Carl's
his
brother.
Wife, right, his wife and his wife, Glee star Naya Rivera, are expecting their first child, which they announced this week with a cute picture of on Instagram of a bun in the oven. And quick mention, Battle Creek premiered this week on CBS, this past week. And as we reported last season on our podcast, we had the pleasure of seeing Damon Harriman, a.k.a. Dewey Crow, playing Detective Niblett in Battle Creek. It was a delight to see him doing well. And if you're into...
And by the way, if you don't know, you might miss it. You might not recognize him because he does look a lot different than Dewey.
Right.
He doesn't have a tattoo.
As
doesn't
I
have
said,
a
if you're having Dewey withdrawals, check Damon out embodying his typical weird character on Battle Creek. Battle Creek on Sunday nights. It's a fun show. I watched it.
And it's great to see him looking so different and going, well, damn, because, you know, if you're not paying attention to it or don't know, you might miss that. It's
yeah,
Billy
it's
Crow.
One of those things where you're watching for a couple of minutes and you go,
hey, wait, who is I know that.
Hey. Yeah.
I'm a little bit bummed that they actually had the rap party. It's like, you know, you always hope that,
yeah, that it's going to go another scene.
The band will get back together. No, they have rapped. So a couple of shout-outs. JoJo Sterlitz. He would like to point out, and I would like to highlight this, that he has been hypothesizing for 3 episodes that Duffy is the rat.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He has been. All right.
So just want to point that out.
Yeah, he's ahead of me. I think I only said it to
him. Many of our fans are really great at giving us, you know, giving me ideas for news and stuff, and he's one of the great ones. BMGG, which I, BGM and ZZ, which I talked about, and the Instagram. And then Mr. Kiltak gave some advice about what happened in the mine last week with Zachariah.
Sure.
And he's postulating that Zachariah actually was trying to kill Boyd.
Yeah, I think he was.
And sent him topside so that he wouldn't be, you know, the witness and wouldn't have to kill him there. And so, but the idea, you know, we talked about this a little bit before we went on the air, that the other idea is that Zachariah is trying to get rid of everyone because there's something going on in that mine that he wants to get to himself.
Okay, yeah. And I forgot to hit on that. And if we have time, real quick.
Go ahead.
So what is your guys' thought on why it was so important on Carl and Zachariah on how to deliver the news? Why does it need to be personal delivery and all that sort of stuff?
I've always said that I think he was trying to kill Boyd.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then once that didn't happen, I think he was trying to get him out of there. I don't think he wanted Boyd to, because Boyd might realize, well, how did I fall through that? And then he might have seen that, hey, these have been tampered with.
Yeah.
And then he's in trouble, Zachariah. So that's why he wanted Boyd out of there, because he didn't want Boyd to check the wood.
Right. And then, he's a smart guy. He's very well experienced in a mine.
Exactly. And Boyd, that might be the first thing. After I calm down and I'm no longer
in peril,
the adrenaline's, and I'm not in danger and I've thought about it, I'm going, hey, wait a minute, how did that happen?
Right.
And then he might have noticed something, so you got to get him out of there.
Right,
sure.
And that's why he killed Pig, because Pig found it. And then right now, but I think all along he wanted to kill Boyd and then also get to whatever it is they're getting to, which I believe is the money in the vault. So, but now that Boyd's out of the way, or at least not around, and if Pig's dead, get Carl out of there, I can do my thing and get... Take care of what I want to take.
Your personal thing is just to get Carl.
Just
out
get
of
Carl, because I said, I think when you brought up the idea of he's trying to get people out of there and he wasn't necessarily trying to kill Boyd. I said no, because he could go back anytime because he knows the mine so well.
Right.
He's obviously known it so well that's how that shaft got to be there and the boards. But he could go back at night when no one was there. So I think he's looking at it opportunistically. Boyd's out of the way. Pig's dead. I just got to get Carl out of here, and I can do my thing and get out.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Now, whether or not that's true, we'll find out, but that's what I think.
And in the comings up, we did see that there was conversation from Zachariah, so there's more happening there.
There's more happening.
I think Pig lived.
I think 300 feet. Yeah, Pig lived. Well, the Razorback didn't. All right, that's all we have time
for.
One more time where they can find you.
Oh, Bottomley Steve at Steven. At Twitter.
Jeez.
Oh, my God. He's ridiculous. Don't tweet him. Tweet me, Tamara Berg.
Tweet Tammy. I'll hear about it.
My website is TamaraCentral.com. Stop talking over me, Steve.
And thank you for all your comments and your thoughts.
Thank you guys so much.
Opposings. We appreciate that. And you can find me at AfterBuzzTV.com/justified. And thanks very much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Yay!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, Apple Pie.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.